Hello, good morning, and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. This is the last Friday of the month, so I have, again, the pleasure of talking with David Disty from Disty Counseling Services and his monthly segment called Heart to Heart. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Crystal. It's great to be back.
Good. I'm sorry. It's just, I guess I need a little more tea this morning, but that's okay. We'll make it through. So what do you have on your mind today? What would you like to talk about today?
Well, we were at the Soul Care Conference this weekend with Rob Reamer, and that was great. And one thing that he talks about is spiritual rhythms and the importance of noticing our spiritual rhythm and if it's working for us or not and what to change if it's not working for us. And so there's the spiritual rhythms. And then I was thinking back to, well, there's other rhythms that I talk with clients about as well, about rhythms in parenting, rhythms in our own individual life, in our own self-care, and rhythms in our marriages as well. So rhythms in all four of those areas are really important, and I thought it would be good to discuss how do we, what are aspects of those rhythms that are important, and how do we enhance those?
Yeah, and actually, interestingly enough, just after our conference, I also started reading Mark Buchanan's book, Spiritual Rhythms, so good timing.
Perfect, yeah.
So which rhythms would you like to start with, then?
Well, I'll break it down into, well, all of them. Let's start with all of them. Rhythms, it's helpful to break down different parts of rhythm. So what we do on a daily basis in all of these realms, spiritually, individually, in our with our kids and with our spouses. So what do we do daily? What do we do weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually? And so to think about all these different categories in the bringing it down into those different time spans. So, yeah, some people think of, well, I don't really have a rhythm. Well, you do. If you got up this morning, that's part of your rhythm. Congratulations, you did it.
Yay!
And so, yeah, so being intentional about what is your rhythm and what do you want to change in it? So, yeah, which of the four do we want to get into, the spiritual, individual, couple, or with children? Well, we were just at Soul Care and you're reading the spiritual rhythms one, so let's go with the spiritual side of things.
All right, sounds good.
So, yeah, what do we do daily? It's really important. What do we do daily to keep ourselves living, well, as Rob talks about it, in the flow of the spirit, in the center of the river of life? One thing that really stood out to me that I've been putting in practice since is each morning considering what is on my to-do list and bringing that to God and intentionally bringing God into the to-do list as well. Partly because if I am just focused on my to-do list and all the things I'm worried about through the day, then it's really hard to focus on God. So I bring it to Him, and then I can focus more on what else I might want to pray about or hear from God about or what else I might do in my spiritual rhythm. So bringing it all to God and bringing God into all of it can be really helpful. So I did that again this morning, praying for each thing that was on my to-do list, praying for wisdom, praying for peace, praying for the people that I'm going to interact with. And I found that really helpful. So doing it these things daily. And so that's what I found helpful this week. But it doesn't have to be that way for everybody. And so I've actually found, I've built a list of things that I kind of have as a menu of options of what I want to do or what I can do. So I have a book that some friends and I are working through, Soul Revolution. So I can go through the next chapter on that. I can sit and listen in prayer. There's lots of other stuff that I can do as well. So considering taking time each morning to go, which of these list of options do I want to go with today? But making sure that there's that time each day.
And also just want to mention that maybe your rhythm is that maybe first thing in the morning isn't your time to do that. And maybe it's over your lunch hour or, you know, just before while you're getting dinner organized or just before or after you're putting the kids to bed. You know, your rhythm, you know how your body works well. You know when you can be most present with God, too. And so, you know, I think often, I know when I was growing up, I was like, you know, well, I have to wake up early. It has to be first thing in the morning because this is the way it has to be. And I'm like, my brain does not function before 7 a.m. That's not giving God my best. And just kind of learning more about myself and being okay with that and saying, you know, I want to offer God my best wherever that is.
Absolutely. That's a great point. So that goes for lots of different things, spiritual rhythms, but also like if you're considering what do you do at work? For instance, I used to really focus on, I have to get all my paperwork done at the end of the day before I go home from work. And I just found my brain does not work well at 4 to 4:30. My brain is not doing that paperwork. But if I get to work a half hour early in the morning, then I can do lots more work then. So yeah, I choose to go early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people are, you know what, I'm at my best after I put the kids to bed, and that's when you have your time with God. Great. For me, I'm getting drowsy at 8 o'clock, so that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, you do everything you can just to stay up until the kids go to bed.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what do you do each day that keeps you in the presence of God?
Mm.
And what do you do weekly as well? For a lot of people, they might think, well, that's church. Mm. And that's good. That's an important time to be with other believers, absolutely. But are there other things that you do weekly or want to do weekly? For me, I meet with friends every Thursday morning for breakfast. And that is a weekly thing that is so refreshing for me.
Mm.
A place where I can be totally honest. Because it's a really important thing to not hold secrets.
Yeah.
And so to meet with friends every week that I don't hold secrets from.
Mm-hmm.
And to encourage each other. And right now we're working through this book, Soul Revolution, to challenge each other. That's been really helpful. So it might be things like meeting with friends. Church is an important piece. It might be things that fasting is something that you do weekly. Staying up at night through the watches of the night. Rob talks about the watches of the night. So making fasting sleep to pray is a good thing too. Actually, that's something that I'll come back to at the annual. I'll dig into it now. One thing that our church has done most years lately is at the end of the year, or the beginning of the year, well, both, and New Year's, we, as a church, read through the Bible out loud from cover to cover. And so that's been an interesting thing. I've taken a few shifts at 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's been really cool to just stay up at night and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So giving up sleep can be a wonderful thing in the weekly rhythm or in the yearly rhythm, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what do you do on a weekly basis? And what do you do on a monthly basis, too? So as we expand from daily, weekly, monthly, annually, we kind of get into longer duration. So each morning or each evening, whatever your preference is, your time of prayer will be probably roughly a certain length. But then what you do on a weekly basis might be longer, and what you do on a monthly basis might be longer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the thing that you want to do monthly that drives you closer to God? For me, that's fasting.
Mm.
It's something that I stopped doing for a couple of years, but I recently got back into, and I found it so helpful to fast once a month. And anytime my stomach grumbles, which when I'm fasting, it's grumbling a lot. It's that physical reminder of I'm back to God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the hunger.
Mm.
That's a tough thing I've been learning is thanking God for the difficult things.
Right.
Because they are, I've heard it described, the difficulties in life are stepping stones to Christ.
Mm.
So thanking God for the hunger that draws me back to him. So whatever it is that you want to do on that monthly basis, could be a mini retreat. For me, the mini retreats go annually. The last few years, I've gone on a camping trip by myself. That's I love camping, and so that's not a hardship. But it's also, I specifically make it a spiritual retreat as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to my spiritual director beforehand and said, hey, I'm going out to the woods for 7 days, and can you help me decide what do I want to do to make this a spiritual retreat rather than just a camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been incredibly helpful for me. And so I skipped over quarterly, but also what do you want to do on a quarterly basis? So for each of us, it can be helpful to sit down every once in a while and go, what am I doing daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually?
Mm-hmm.
If I notice that one of those is empty, then what do I want to put into it? If I notice that things in one of those categories is not really doing it for me, what do I want to change?
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that I stopped fasting for a couple of years because I was noticing, you know, it's becoming just rhythm rather than meaningful. So I stopped it for a while, and now I've gone back to it.
Yeah.
So just because it's working at one point in time doesn't mean you have to stick with it. You can change it to whatever is going to work for you next. You can try lots of different stuff.
And vice versa. Just because one spiritual practice isn't a fit for you right now, it doesn't mean that, this is one that I'll never use.
Yeah.
You know, God will bring it back to you at another time in your life where it will be more impactful and where it really will help build that intimacy with you and God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's different categories of spiritual disciplines, too. I remember reading a book by Foster. I forget his first name. Richard Foster, maybe?
Yes.
On spiritual disciplines, and he writes like a short chapter on each one. So he's got like probably 20, 25 chapters in there.
Yeah.
And he breaks them into different categories. So there's spiritual disciplines that are just you by yourself, different things that you do only by yourself. Mm-hmm. And it breaks into categories of what you do with others too. So it's helpful to go, what do I do in these different categories that is just me?
Yeah.
And what are things that I do with others? Because a lot of times we can fall into a trap of, I do everything just by myself, or do everything just with others. But it's good to have a mix of it too.
Especially in our Western church, we have this, you know, independent individual bent that is in our culture and has made its way into our churches. And so, yeah, it's really difficult for us to see that corporate worship is so much more than just singing three songs on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that there is stuff that, you know, we can get out of praying together and just doing life together, that community and that's how God is in himself is community, and that's how he created us to be as well.
Yeah. And also, so God is in himself community. And also, like, when Jesus was on earth, he spent time with his disciples and he spent time going off into the lonely places by himself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a mix of both. We need that rhythm of with people and away from people. And for different people, that ratio will be different.
Mm.
Me, I like more alone time than with big crowds. And for other people, it's a different ratio. And that's fine. Whatever works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being aware of what is your rhythm, what's working and what's not, and adjusting it. So you can look into, like you mentioned, the book that you're listening to, Spiritual Rhythms by Buchanan.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the Spiritual Disciplines by Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there's lots of resources out there like those two books. I think the Foster books, that's quite an old one. It's probably like 40, 50 years old, but it's still a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely still a good one. That was one of my textbooks for my theology class. So,
excellent.
Or my spiritual formation class this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, check out different things. Talk to different people about what works for them. And yeah, see what would be good for you. There's lots of resources out there that you can choose from.
All right. Well, again, we are here with David Disty from Disty Counseling Services and his monthly program, Heart to Heart, on All You Ever Want to Know. We will be back right after this. Welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know. This is the last Friday of the month, so I'm Crystal Disty here in studio with David Disty from Disty Counseling Services and his monthly program, Heart to Heart. And today we are talking about rhythms, spiritual rhythms, personal rhythms, couples, parenting. And so we've spent the first part of our program today talking about some of the spiritual rhythms, and I think we're going to move into some couple rhythms and how that plays out. So take it away, Dave.
Yeah, and so with a couple rhythms, it's similar to the spiritual rhythms in that what do we do on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly, quarterly, annual basis for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's some differences in there too. In a relationship, there's important times to connect. Anytime that we leave each other and reunite, it's important to connect. So when I leave for work, it's important for me to give everybody in the house a hug and a kiss goodbye. When I come back from work, it's important to have that reunification, that hug and a kiss, hello. And so as a couple, it's important to, well, you might not remember the hug and a kiss goodbye because I leave before you wake up. Trust me, I do that.
I do some mornings.
Okay. but yeah, it's important to reconnect. And when we connect, there's some important pieces. So I'm talking about things that will that apply with children as well. But it's important to have eye contact, physical touch, and a smile.
Mm.
And so that eye contact of, hey, it's good to see you again. Physical touch of a hug and a kiss. And a smile of, I'm glad I'm in your presence again.
Mm-hmm.
With kids, that looks different than with your spouse. It might be a tickle of the kids or something like that. Whatever it takes, or the corny dad joke that came up over the day. Whatever it takes to get that grin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so as a couple, that reunification and that goodbye, those are important times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's any time that you leave and come back from each other's presence. That includes going to sleep and waking up. That includes going to work and coming back. That includes leaving for errands and coming back. Any time that you depart and any time you come back, those are important times to connect.
And so often it can be, we just kind of get wrapped up in our own schedules and we're like, okay, well, I've got all my things, all my ducks in a row. Now I'm out the door, and we can get wrapped up and those things can really get forgotten. I know I catch myself forgetting that quite often because I get very task oriented and I'm, you know, okay, I've got to do A, B, and C. I got to keep that in my head. And next thing I know, I'm out the door in the van and I'm going, I didn't give Dave and the kids a hug and a kiss goodbye. And
Yeah. And so it can be helpful to look at as a partnership too, that, okay, these are the things that are on my to-do list. Do I have to do them all by myself, or can I invite others into these too?
Mm-hmm.
To say, hey, these are the things on my mind. What's on your mind? How do we work as a team to to do this together. Mm-hmm. It might be, hey, let's go and do these errands together, or you do these ones and I'll do these ones. I'll take this kid, you take that kid, and whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, rather than I have to get all this stuff done, how do we do it together? It can be an important piece.
Yeah, because again, you know, we weren't made to be on our own. And especially in a marriage, you know, it doesn't, your marriage is not going to have intimacy if you just keep going on your parallel tracks without those points of connection.
Yeah, a parallel marriage can feel really empty. And oftentimes people get into kind of a parallel marriage, particularly when they're raising kids. Mm-hmm. And then they get into that empty nest phase and go, wait, what's this relationship about? Who's this person? And so, yeah, having that intentional connection, especially in the busy times of life, is really important.
Yeah, I talked about it in my program too, that sometimes it's those, it's the times when things are the busiest and most overwhelming where, you know, it's necessary to pull back and make time for the things that recharge us and help us gain perspective. And that is absolutely the intimate relationships in our life with with family, with our spouses. And yeah, that's one way that we can recharge for those busy times, but also reminding, just knowing that, you know, we're not in this alone, can also recharge and refuel us and help us face things in a better and stronger and more full way.
Yeah. Got a t-shirt that says we're better together. And that's absolutely true. In lots of ways, as community, as couples, as a church. Yeah. So another piece about daily rhythms of connection is about expressing appreciation and admiration. There's a ratio that's important in a couple between negative comments and positive comments. It's about like a 5-to-1 ratio, that we need 5 positive comments for every negative one that's said. And so taking time to make sure that you're complimenting each other, appreciating each other, is really important. To appreciate and compliment the character traits of the other person, what they do that makes life better for you. So it's both the doing and the being, a good mix of those. And different people have different preferences. So some people, like, you know what, the doing ones don't really mean much to me, but I really want the compliments about who I am as a person, my character traits. So having that discussion about which compliments are really meaningful to you, to the other person, and making sure that we're doing as many of those as we can. And so when I say there's a 5-to-1 ratio, it doesn't mean that we have to keep score. But if we're intentionally focusing on spending time each day, expressing appreciation throughout the day, and maybe in clumps of time as well, then we will have that 5-to-1 ratio. So yeah, you don't need to keep score, but if you're focusing on appreciation and thankfulness, admiration, then you're going to be there.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, as you know, we go out into the world, that ratio is going to be a lot lower outside of our four walls, right? And so when we go out into the world, there's a lot of makeup that has to be made from some of the slings and arrows that we get throughout the day when we're outside of our safe family network.
Yeah. And so we don't necessarily have to have the 5-to-1 ratio with those negatives that we encounter outside of the relationship. But yeah, the more positives that we have in these important relationships, the easier it is for us to deal with the ones outside of the marriage, outside of the family as well. So yeah, so appreciation, admiration, when we leave a situation, when we leave each other's presence, and when we return, those are important things. And it's also important to have connection about what are the tasks. So that can be a weekly or every couple of days thing about what are the things going on in life. To make sure, well, you mentioned the busyness of life, to make sure that we're on the same page about what's happening and communicating about it openly. I remember we had a conversation yesterday where I was, where you said, oh, it's a busy week coming up. And I turned and looked, it is? What's going on? So yeah, it's important to have those conversations about what's coming up and to make sure that we're working on it together.
Yeah. And again, because we have different perspectives and things that we have in our personal or professional life that maybe don't cross over onto the quote unquote family calendar. And so we've got them rolling around in our head, but they're not necessarily out there for everyone. And so, again, you know, we can't read each other's minds. So it's good to say, hey, you know, this is my perspective of the week. These are the things I have going on at work. This is some of the things I'd like to fit in for my own personal life. For me, there's school, and then shuttling kids various places at various times. So,
Yeah. And we found it so helpful to have that big wall calendar that everything gets written on there for us to communicate what's going on so that we know what we're expecting. But also I've found our kids going, oh, what day is it today? What's going on? And so they go to it so they know what to expect as well. And so, yeah, I highly recommend having like a wall calendar where all these things are written on there. Yeah, I've I've got three different calendars that I use. I've got one for, yeah, our family stuff, one for work, and one for other stuff. And but yeah, as long as there's that communication about whatever's going on between us, mm-hmm. that, yeah, that can be a really helpful thing.
Yeah. And I like to do things that where like my afternoons are typically free because mm-hmm. Half of my day is free because I'm only working part days here. And then mm-hmm. I also have school to fit in. But those afternoons, sometimes even just for myself, I have to write down and go, okay, this day I'm actually busy. It's not a free day. Mm-hmm. It's not a nap day. It's not a catch up on Facebook day. It's a whatever. And I think that's important for us too. Also, like, it helps us keep ourselves accountable with how mm-hmm. we're spending our time too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And some people find it to be really constricting to have these things written down, but I found it to be really freeing too, to go, man, I know what's coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm not dealing with the stress or the anxiety about what's happening or surprises and missed appointments. And yeah, it can be freeing to have that structure as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's the conversations about what's going on, like task-wise. And it's also important to have conversations about what's going on with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent-to-parent conversation about what are the things that are going really well, what are the things we're concerned about, and how are we dealing with it as a team? So coming at this as a team rather than, oh, Johnny's terrible and we got to really come down hard on Johnny. But, well, how are we going to deal with this situation that a kid's struggling with something and we want to give them as much success as we can?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, talking about the day-to-day stuff, talking about parenting is really important, but also connecting just in fun. So that comes into date nights. What do you do for fun together that is just the two of you? And so it can be date nights outside of the home. It can be something expensive and lavish. It can be something really simple too. My parents were big fans of date nights while grocery shopping.
Hmm.
Grocery shopping just has to happen. But rather than it being one person going out and doing that and the other person doing something else, doing it together and making that time of connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's my favorite, but
it worked for them.
Mm-hmm, it worked for them.
And for us last night, you know, we just pulled out mm-hmm. a deck of cards and played cards for, you know, an hour or whatever after the kids went to bed. And
yeah, and so that's a great thing. What do you do for fun? It can be a date at home once the kids are in bed. It can be a date doing errands together. It can be a date of going out for supper, or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the weekly connection time on that level too. And then, yeah, making bigger things on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis as well. So there might be, like, playing cards last night, that's maybe a weekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if we make a monthly date to make sure that, hey, we get away without the kids, and mm-hmm. then quarterly something bigger, and annual something even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So like the camping trip that we did recently. Well, it wasn't just
last
us.
Weekend,
we brought the oldest one too. But
yeah.
Yeah, there's 3 days that was more about connection there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so expanding it beyond what do we do today to what do we do weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. And just like I talked about in the first segment, reviewing what's working and what's not.
Right.
Talking about it as a couple and saying, hey, what's working well for us so far and what's not? And coming at it as a team of how can we work together to have a better rhythm of connection? Not in a blaming way of saying, oh, you're always doing this and it's getting in the way of connection.
Mm.
But we can make the request of, hey, I would like this to happen in our life, like you did last night playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Making that request of what you would like. And the other person has the opportunity to say, yes, I'll do that, or to counter with something else of, well, that doesn't really work for me. Can we try this instead?
Mm-hmm.
So you can negotiate and come to what works for both of you.
Right. Yeah, because and that negotiation is a really important part, too, mm-hmm. because what we're looking for is not it has to be a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Right. If one person loses, you both lose. That's mm-hmm. just the economy of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we're taught when it comes to our competitive, again, independent culture that's completely counterculture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important to realize that, you know, we talk a lot about compromise, but if compromise means neither one of you are happy, that's mm-hmm. not a win.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you brought that out. Oftentimes people will come to what they would like in the relationship and come at it in a demanding way and say, you have to do this. I need you to do this.
Mm.
And that may work in some situations where the other person's like, yeah, I can do that. But it may not work in other ones where the person says, you know what? I'm not okay with that. I'm not comfortable with that. Well, that's not going to work for me. And so if we can hold our requests loosely and recognize that we're looking for connection, we're not looking necessarily for this thing to happen, like playing cards. It's not important that we play cards. It's important that we connect.
Right.
So we can explore how do we connect rather than I need you to do this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, if it's playing a game and whatever, and one of you is more competitive and the other isn't, it isn't something that maybe you both want to do all the time. But again, you can kind of do some give and take, and it's not about it's not about keeping score about, you know, who won last time, because really ultimately the goal is for you both to win by gaining connection.
Yes, absolutely. The goal is always connection, not tasks or not winning or being the best, but the goal is connection. And when we appreciate the other person and we support them and lift them up, then we both win in that connection. Absolutely.
So we've talked about some spiritual rhythms and some rhythms as a couple, and a little bit about kids. What have we missed maybe in the kids category that we can move into next?
Yeah, the kids category. So it's similar to the couples one in that when we depart and when we come back together, that's really important. And I mentioned the importance of having physical touch, eye contact, and a smile. So whatever it takes to get those three, it's really important, especially in the reunification. Gordon Neufeld wrote a great book that talks about this, Hold On to Your Kids. You're quite familiar with Gordon Neufeld, taking this course right now.
I am, yes.
So yeah, that's a great resource about how do we connect with our kids. So yeah, there's the connection when we depart and when we come back. There's connection about the daily tasks of, hey, what's going on in life, in school? And some kids will go, nothing happened. Meanwhile, I saw this meme where some kids will say nothing happened, and then you get a school email from the school about the field trip where they held an alligator. It's like, nothing happened. You held an alligator. But yeah, exploring what's going on in your life, what's working well and what's not working so well. So talking about friends, talking about the subjects that are they're enjoying, and talking about the things that they're not enjoying. So yeah, sometimes it's helpful to say what are highlights, what are lowlights, what was easy for you today, what was hard for you today. I saw an ad for a conversation starters, an app or a card deck, something like that, where it's just conversation starters that you'd have on the supper table. Flip over a card and ask this question, and it, you get to explore it. So yeah, so looking at what's going on in your child's life and how you can support them, that's an important thing to do regularly. And also just fun too. So it's good to take this role as a parent to do like what's going on in life, but also just as playing together.
Yeah.
So what can we do to play together? That's a really important skill, because kids, play is the most important job for a child. And it's really important for us as adults too. But yeah, kids learn how to play from us. And so when we can engage with them in play, that's super good. That's excellent. So whatever it might be, my struggle has been learning how to play Barbies. That's a confusing one for me. I don't know what I'm doing playing Barbies, but to try that and learn how to do that. I'm good at playing with Lego. Hey, I know how to use Lego. I did that, and I can play Lego. But yeah, it's harder to play Barbies. But it's important to engage and play with our kids.
Yeah.
And that can be just stuff around the house, but also taking kids out for group outings. Like, we went out with the kids to Scoops last night, and so it was fun to have all of us there.
Yeah.
But it's important, too, to have the one-on-one times as well.
Right.
Which, the more kids you have, the harder that is. But to make sure that the kid knows I'm important to my parent right now because I'm the focus of their attention. So one-on-one times, group times, fun, where you, and times when you're supporting the kid in the fun things that they're doing and in the difficult things that they're doing.
Right.
So all those are important. And, again, on the different scales of daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually. So, like, we're planning... I guess summer's coming, so this is a time when lots of people are planning, what are we going to do for our family time over the summer? And so we're looking at what is it going to look like for us, where we're going to have a big block of time that is just for connecting as a family. And yeah, we're not sure what that'll look like yet, but we're determined we're going to make something happen where we're connecting for like a week or so. Just us as a family.
All right. Well, again, we're talking about rhythms, spiritual rhythms, rhythms as a couple and with our kids. And we have a couple more to talk about when we come back. But for now, we're going to go to commercial and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Crystal Disty in studio with Dave Disty for Heart to Heart, the last Friday of the month. So today we are talking a bit about rhythms, and we've talked about spiritual rhythms and rhythms as a couple and with our kids. And of course, we also have our own personal rhythms, and some of our rhythms might not fit into those first three categories. And this is where this topic comes in.
Yeah. I just over the commercial break, I remembered a quote from Rob Reamer that he talked about regarding rhythms. And he said, when rhythms become a rut, we become religious.
Right.
So that's why it's important to review our rhythms regularly so that don't become a rut. And then we're just doing them out of repetition and religiousness.
Yeah, out of a have to.
Mm-hmm. Out of the have to. Because, yeah, if we're doing rhythm out of a have to, then it becomes more of a detriment to us than a help.
Yeah.
And then we need other rhythms to overcome the rhythm that we're doing just out of a have to. And then we go round and round that circle. And yeah, so analyzing or just assessing for a bit, is this a healthy rhythm for me right now? Is it becoming a rut? If it's becoming a rut, let's change it.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the personal rhythms that that we can be looking at and thinking about in our own lives just as individuals, which is typically what much of culture really focuses in on?
Yeah, so these a lot of times when you hear things about self-care, this would be kind of what we're talking about in this section. What do we do to care for ourselves? And this doesn't mean just pampering ourselves, but what do we do that is life-giving for ourselves?
Right.
On a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annual basis as well. So I mentioned before that I often go camping for a week at a time, and that's a spiritual rhythm for me, but it's also a personal rhythm of it's not just a time of a week of praying, but there's a lot of things that I really enjoy doing out in the bush by myself. So yeah, it's these kind of rhythms of what do you do for yourself that is really life-giving. So for me in the morning, I found it life-giving to set the alarm so that I get up before anybody else, to have that peace and quiet in the house before anybody gets up. Which is a challenge because sometimes our middle son, he gets up quite early. But yeah, so if I can sit down for a half hour with a cup of coffee and nobody else awake, dog's often still asleep at that time. And that is a life-giving thing for me. That's not a life-giving thing for you to get up at 4:30 in the morning. That's not something you like.
No.
But yeah, that's life-giving for me.
Nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what do we do that keeps us active, that keeps us healthy, that keeps us in what is good for us? So some people might have the daily rhythm of going to the gym. I tried that before. I had a gym membership for like probably 2 years and I went like maybe three times. Hmm. That is not the rhythm that's working for me. But yeah, there's lots of different ways that we can be active. So I found the rhythm for me of walking to work every day is so helpful. That 15 minutes there and 15 minutes back of walking through a couple of parks on the way, listening to music or the Bible Project podcast, whatever it might be. That 15 minutes is a great daily rhythm that helps me to be in a better mindset for the rest of the day.
Hmm.
So that daily rhythm. Also, what do you do for hobbies, just for fun? Hmm. That's enjoyable. So I'm thinking back over the years, what did I do on a weekly basis? I used to play hockey weekly. It's something I haven't done for a while, but that was a helpful thing for a while. Mm-hmm. Something that I stopped because it was becoming a rut instead of something that was helping.
Well, and you also had a little interlude with your bandaging and stuff. It's kind of hard to put on all your hockey equipment over skin grafts.
Yeah. Sometimes there's medical issues that get in the way. And so what do you do instead? So for a while, I was part of the Broken Arrow Archery and went and shot my bow for an hour a week. And that was a good thing to be with others and doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, what do you do on a weekly basis that is just for you and is enjoyable? I mentioned earlier that I go out for breakfast with my friends every week, every Thursday morning. And that's a spiritual thing, but it's also a really good thing for me. I'm an introvert, but it's really helpful for me to find who are the people that I want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Thursday morning, thank you, Dean and Dion. Shout out to you guys. You're really important in my rhythm, that weekly rhythm.
Yeah, and you know, as we mentioned, you know, when we're talking about like couple rhythms and family rhythms, those are things we kind of have to coordinate and kind of have to fit into everybody's boxes a certain amount.
Yeah.
But these individual rhythms are where we can branch out into ways that we are different from our partners and our kids and things like that. And so, like you said, you know, for you, 4:30 in the morning works great.
Yeah,
I agree, as long as you don't hit the snooze five times. And for me, it's, you know, part of my rhythm is just something as simple as getting tea on the way to work, whether I make it at home, whether I go through the drive-through. That morning tea just helps me transition for me, a lot of rhythm is transition because I find transition hard. And so for me, it transitions me from mom mode to work mode. Mm-hmm. And then I'll often have another tea in the afternoon, which is just kind of just a time for me to just sit and breathe. I don't let myself do anything. I just sit with that cup of tea and just be present, which is, again, really difficult.
Yeah.
And so for me, we've talked about the quarterly ones, but for me, my mini retreat is a quarterly thing. And so every, 3 to 4 months, I will take a weekend and I will go for a solitude retreat. In the winter, I'll take a hotel room here in town and I'll just hang out in a hotel room by myself for a couple days and just get that time to just recharge and not have anyone, you know, needing me or anything like that. Sometimes that's a spiritual retreat, and sometimes I just use it as, you know, self-care, which always has spiritual elements because that's just part of my life. But then also in the summer, like actually my next one is coming up next month sometime, whenever we can fit it in, I go out to my parents' acreage. And so they have a huge acreage that I can't even hear the next neighbor if I shouted. So it's perfect. There's a little creek and I actually need to use the creek in order to flush the toilet. But hey, it's still indoor plumbing, so it's pretty plush. And that's my that's what works for me. And that's part of my quarterly rhythm. And then, so those are some of the things that I do. And then also for you, it's podcasts. For me, it's audiobooks, listening to specific things, just working on things that I want to be focusing on more. Sometimes, again, it's just a novel just because I just want to chill out and relax and disengage. And other times it's like this Mark Buchanan book where it's something that I'm actually actively engaging in and really wanting to get something out of.
Yeah. There's one thing that you said there that really twigged something in me. You said whenever we get around to it about your quarterly retreat. Yeah. That's one thing. If we wait for a time when we can get around to it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we got to make time for it, which means cutting things out of life. And I know that can be a hard thing for a lot of people. That was a hard thing for me. This winter and spring, I decided not to be an elder at a church anymore. Decided, you know what, something has to go. And I decided that was the thing that had to go. So cutting things out that are maybe life-giving in some ways, but draining in others too, and that are getting in the way of other things that you want in your life as well. So cutting things out and planning ahead and saying, you know what, this is non-negotiable. Unless somebody's going to the hospital, this thing is going to happen.
Right.
Because so often we can say, well, this other thing came up, I'm going to do this instead. Well, then we're kind of shortchanging ourselves. Like you say, you know what, there's a movie playing and I want to go and see that instead of going on my retreat. Well, you're shortchanging yourself on that one for a movie versus going on the retreat.
Right.
Or whatever thing might come up.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, up until 2 years ago when I started working and going back to school, it was a lot easier. And because I didn't have to worry about, have I used up my holidays and am I going to be in class and how many assignments do I have due? So that's what I'm dealing with right now for next month in particular. It's, you know, trying to be judicious with my holiday hours, not using them all up because I have classes that I need to take. And then also that I have a class at the beginning of the month. And so I'll have some assignments. And yeah, there are times where, like you say, something's got to give. And at the same time, you know, like I talked about yesterday on my program again as well, that you have to pull back and do these things and pour into yourself and recharge so that you can be your best when you step back in.
Yeah.
And so it is not easy, but it is essential. And
I like how you said that. Pull back so you can be your best when you step back in. That's a great thing in so many areas of life. Like I talk about that with couples when they're having conflict. It's important to pull back and deal with whatever's going on inside yourself so you can come back to the discussion and be the best. It's important to stop parenting for a minute to go and take care of yourself so you can come back and be a better parent.
Right.
It's important to do that in lots of areas of life, to pull back so you can come back better. I like that.
Yeah. Well and said. And for me, that's where my quarterly retreat started from, was a place of, you know, after Joey was born, I was dealing with postpartum depression. I went and I talked with a psych nurse and he's like, you need to take one weekend off a month. I went, well, that's not going to work, but I can do one every three. And that's something that I've stuck to, you know, and he's 14 years old. So it's a pattern that I've stuck to that every 3 to 4 months I make it happen. And so sometimes, you know, there's a week or two wiggle room and maybe I'll only get three in 1 year instead of four. But, you know, again, it's not about being religious about it. It's about making your rhythm work.
Yeah. And so as the husband in this scenario, it would be easy for me to go, well, that's inconvenient for me. It puts more stuff on my plate. I don't want you to take that weekend off or something like that. And yeah, there's inconvenience in it. Mm-hmm. And so I can choose to take that approach that I don't want you to inconvenience me. Or I could take the approach that, you know what, if I pick up slack on this weekend when you're gone, or if I schedule things so that we're not doing as much so it's easier for me to pick up the slack, mm-hmm. then I will have a wife. When you come back, my wife will be happier. And she will be better in the relationship as, mm-hmm. as a wife, as an individual, as a parent. And mm-hmm. so it's an investment in time and energy to get the person that I want in the relationship to come
back. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, it's where we have to look at what is the goal, right? Mm-hmm. And the goal is connection and relationship. And we want the best for each other,
yeah.
especially in a marriage. I think that's something that, again, you know, we can get caught up in. Well, what about what I want? What about what I need? Mm-hmm. And if we go into a relationship like that, there's not going to be the intimacy and the connection because yeah. the other person is going to feel it and they're going to feel like they're not important mm-hmm. and they're going to withdraw. And then, yeah, you mm-hmm. find yourself in a relationship that you're not really sure what it looks like anymore mm-hmm. and how it works.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. It's important to go into the relationship and go, what is going to be best for us?
Mm-hmm.
I think of it sometimes as, well, Jesus, when he came to earth, he chose to limit himself for the betterment of humanity, which then enhanced our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So his self-limitation enhanced the relationship with us. And that's something that is a great model to follow in marriage, I think,
mm-hmm.
that we can look at, you know, what can I do here that will help the other person? Not that I have to rescue them or something, or that I right. don't get it and my needs met too, but that's not all about me.
Mm-hmm.
I can limit myself and what I want in order to have a better relationship. And ultimately, I'll get more of what I want if I choose to limit myself in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So again, we've been talking about rhythms, spiritual rhythms, rhythms as couples in mm-hmm. our families with our children, and individual rhythms that we have. And again, these are rhythms that are daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly. And we all have rhythms, whether we have sat down and kind of acknowledged them or not. But mm-hmm. it is really important to sit down and find out what our rhythms are, whether they're working for us, and what things we can add or subtract in order to have better intimacy with those around us and with God, and to just be able to refuel and connect with ourselves as well.
Yeah. Perfectly said.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for joining us today for All You Ever Wanted to Know. Again, I'm Crystal Disty, and in studio today, we've had David Disty with Disty Counseling Services and his monthly program, Heart to Heart. Thank you so much again for joining us and listening. Mm-hmm. And as always, stay safe.